This morning, we highlighted or pointed to in our message yesterday that we were going to be talking about fruitful prayer. And the Lord helped me this morning, that's what we're going to be preaching on, is fruitful prayer. You know, it's yet another message of evaluation, and we need that today. And I'm here to tell you, as shameful as it may be to say, I believe praying is one of the areas where I fall the shortest. I don't know, maybe you're not that way, but I feel that's where I fall short many, many times, is in my prayer life. And a lot of other things stem from that. You know, many times we go about our daily lives, and you know, the Bible tells us to pray when? When we're in trouble? Some might say, yeah. But it says to pray always, doesn't it? Without ceasing. Our daily lives ought to be about prayerfulness. And you say, do you mean that we're supposed to stop every time we go to do something and pray? Well, you may not stop and go through a formal line of prayer, but our thoughts and our minds ought to be prayerful to the Lord. But you know, there is a thing about prayer. We see in two scriptures that almost, one might say, could seem to be contradictory. Well, I said two scriptures, three. There's a scripture that says, whatsoever ye ask, believing, that you shall receive, right? And there's a scripture that says there in the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, isn't there? But then yet there's another scripture that tells us, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. How many of you, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm asking you to ask this question within your own heart and mind. How many times is it when it seems like we're praying and it seems as if our prayers can't get past the ceiling? That they're just, it may be going out audible, it may be going out in their mind, but it doesn't seemingly seem to be getting to the heavenly host, getting to the heavenly Father. And I think many times the reason being is that because when we pray, we are asking upon our own lust. You say, what do you mean, brother? In our evaluation, if we can evaluate ourselves by percentages in our prayer, how much percentage of our prayer is material versus spiritual? We oftentimes, we will pray, you know, on behalf of others, the other believers and those that are lost. You know, we will pray for success in business. Why? So that we may have enough money in the bank. We will pray for the healing of those that are sick. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for these things. We should pray for these things, but it's how we pray and why we pray for them. What is the purpose of that prayer? But we pray for the sick, that the Lord may heal them, and we should do so. But why do we want them healed? Why? That's a question that we got to answer within ourselves. We pray that our children may pass the school grades. Why? You know? We pray for so many material and trivial things as well, don't we? That it may be sunshiny on that wedding day, you know, that you planned for years and months and spent more money than you ever had, and it's over in a few hours, you know. But we pray for those things, don't we? That things may be exactly the way we want it. You know, many times when it comes to walking in the Lord, and last night during fellowship, me and one of the brethren, we was talking about this. We pray to the Lord, and we know the Lord's guiding us and directing us in a step, but we always want to know how He's going to do it, right? What He's going to do out ahead of us. You know, many times I believe that when we get down deep, the reason why we want to know how God's going to do something is because we want to know if we approve of it or not, don't we? Look, God's way is the best way. Even if we don't think it is, it's the best way. And the Lord would have us pray in the spiritual, in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual realm. As we pray for those that are to be healed from sickness. It shouldn't be just because we want to keep them here with us. You know, sometimes the Lord he's not going to answer a prayer for one to be healed, is he? Because that's time for his child to come home. I experienced that at one time. I will tell you, I believe the Lord blessed with the most purest that I believe I've ever prayed in my life was when my grandfather lay in the hospital in great pain dying. And the Lord would not allow me to pray for his healing. And of course, a few days later, the Lord took him home. But we called upon for peace that he might not hurt. And the Lord answered that. But he wasn't going to answer keeping him here with us. It was time for him to go. And who would we be to pray for healing of those in which the Lord is going to take on home? Why is it that we pray for healing of those? Is it just to keep those here? Is it maybe that we don't want to see them suffering and so forth? And I'm not saying that's a bad emotion to have. That's a natural emotion to have. But when we look at the Scripture we ended quoting yesterday, whatsoever ye do, do what? All for the glory of God. If we want to see someone healed, it ought to be for God's glory, shouldn't it? Amen. Not so we can just keep them here and they make our life easier, so to speak, but for God's glory, that His power and might be shown in them. We see some examples of proper, fruitful prayer in the Word of God. We know, and we'll turn to a little bit later, what some call the Lord's Prayer. I like to refer to it as the model prayer. I believe when you really get down to the Lord's Prayer, you need to go to John chapter 17. But He gave us a model prayer to follow. But we see it not only just there. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We see here the Holy Spirit, in and through the Apostle Paul's hand, pinning down a prayer for us. And we see great instruction of how that we ought to pray for others. We see here in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." There's that praying without ceasing there, being instructed. It says, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You say, well, what does that mean? What is that talking about? When we pray for others and we pray in the spiritual sense, first of all, the Lord tells us seek His kingdom first. And His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, isn't it? And therefore we should pray for that spiritual fervence, that spiritual growth in others. You know, that is the most important thing that we should pray for. If one is sick and we pray that they may be healed, it should be for the honor and glory of God and that they might grow spiritually. Amen. So we see here, what is he praying for? First of all, we see here in verse 9, he praying for spiritual vision. We all need that, don't we? We need a vision. We need not some kind of mystical dream vision. Don't misunderstand me. But we need spiritual vision. If we can't see right, we can't walk right, can we? So we must need that spiritual vision. Notice he says that ye might be filled with the knowledge. That we need to be praying that we receive the truth. That we might have the proper perception on things. He goes on and it says, with the knowledge of His will, that we might realize the truth. Realize what it is that God would have us to do. Why is that? So that we would have the proper persuasion in what we do. And then we see also in verse 9, it says, His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, there's a funny thing about the definition of wisdom. Not only is that it having great knowledge, but it's knowing how to apply it. So we see also in our spiritual vision that we not only receive the truth so that we might have the proper perception, realize the truth, to have the proper persuasion, but also relate the truth so that we may have the proper placement of things. And with all these things, with our spiritual vision in the right place, which when our spiritual vision is in the right place, we see things and desire things for the glory of God. So what does that cause? What next? What would be, for lack of a better way of saying it, what would be the next step? What would be the next thing to begin to pray for? Here we see in verse 10 a prayer for spiritual vitality or livelihood, if you would. We see in verse 10, notice it says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord. That we may walk worthy of the Lord. That as we have this spiritual vision, as we begin to walk, as we get the proper placement, that we might walk in Him. The walk of the Christian life we're dealing with, that we might have the proper testimony, don't we? You know, here's one thing I'll tell you this morning. If God allows it, mind you, because Satan can't do anything that God doesn't allow. If you don't believe me, go read the book of Job. If God allows it, look, He can't attack our salvation. The Bible says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one is the answer to that. He can't touch our salvation. He can't take that away, and He can't battle it. Now, He can stir up our mind and try to make us doubt it from time to time. But why does He do that? Because the moment we start doubting, the moment we stop looking to God and we start to fail, don't we? When He does all that, why? To try to harm our testimony, doesn't He? Why are we under attack? He can't take away our salvation, but He can harm our testimony. He can make it harder for that light to shine forth in and through us because our testimonies are damaged. So we see that we must be praying for spiritual vitality, for spiritual life, that we might walk in the Christian life, that we might have the proper testimony. And all that is not so that others will look at us and say, wow, look at them, they are so great. No, it's that they might see God in us. It goes on to say in the next portion of this verse, it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Do you want to please the Lord this morning? Now let me define that. Do you want to please Him this morning? To bring honor and glory to Him? Or do you just want to please Him so that you might get something in return? When we are truly going about pleasing the Lord, it's to please Him. Not that we might receive something in return. So we see here the works of the Christian life here. Notice, being fruitful in every good work. Look, I do not believe in, as I said, I think yesterday, I do not believe in works for salvation. But I do believe when the Lord saves one, there will be works. The works of the Christian life. You know, when we think of works, we think of toil, don't we? Look, in this day and age, let's face it, it's tough to be a Christian, isn't it? I mean, when we really stand. When we really stand firm on godly things. I agree with Brother Duke. If this bill passes, if the Supreme Court rules that way, get ready. I am not a prophet by no means, but we can look back in history and you can look back in the Word of God. And let me just say it this way. We are headed for something. We're headed for something. Anytime the Lord's people weren't going about and doing the things they ought to do, what did the Lord allow to come upon them? Persecution. Something to think about. I'm not going to chase that rabbit this morning. And here we see also, we see the toil. And it is toil. It is work. But it's a, as we'll see a little later on, it's a joyful work, isn't it? When we're doing it properly. You know, I used to wonder, my grandmother would be out working in the garden. She'd just be whistling away just like she's having a good time. And I'm sitting there going, why is she whistling? This is terrible. You know? And sometimes when people look at us, when we're walking in the Christian life, when we're doing those works in which God would have us to do, and we're joyful in it, I have no doubt that others that don't know the Lord, that are not spiritual in Him, go, why in the world are those people so happy? We see also here, in praying for spiritual livelihood, notice this, the wonder of the Christian life. The totality of it, if you would, in this life in which that we live here on this earth. Notice what's prayed for here. And the increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you want to learn more about God? What's that old, how's that song go? More and more about Jesus? I don't know the rest of it. But more and more about Jesus. You know, that we would like to know more and more about Him. Do you desire that? Do you pray for that? Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. You know, when you get your Bible out at home, and I hope that you do, and you begin to read it, do you sit down in prayer that He might teach you, or you just read through the verses so you can go, accomplish my duty for today. Let's go play. You know? The wonder of Christian life, the totality of this life here is growing in Him. And when we grow in Him, these other things start to take an effect. You know, when one begins and grows in Christ, you will see that spiritual livelihood in them. They can't help but hide it. They grow out of things that they used to do. And they grow into godliness when we grow increasing in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. And then one might say, well, what do you mean by knowledge of God? Man, that is so vast. But we grow in the knowledge of who He is. And then in growing in the knowledge of who He is, then we begin to see how He would have us to be. We see, thirdly, a prayer for spiritual vigor, spiritual endurance, if you would. Notice what it says in verse 11. It says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, let's look at a couple of things here. In this spiritual endurance, first of all, we see, in essence, its secret or its means here. Notice, strengthened with all might. We pray for a strengthening. We talked about the toil of a Christian walk. Well, we need strength to endure that, don't we? I'm reminded of the scripture that I tell you comes to mind daily. Is that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And that's the secret. That's the means. Those want to know, well, how do they stand? In and through Christ's strength and looking to Him and standing on the promises. You know, God's people got to get back to doing, as that song says, standing on the promises of God. Because why? Notice, strengthened with all might. Notice, according to His glorious power. Now, we call God, as He calls Himself, what? Almighty. You know, why is it, those of us that, as the Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why are we fearful? Look, if this amendment passes and things come to pass, I guarantee you there will be preachers stopping preaching on things that they should. You know how I know that? Because we already got, you know, whether they're called or not, I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But we've already got preachers today that will not preach on sin, will not preach a reproving message for fear that the congregation may vote them out. I'll tell you, I've preached the messages at times just waiting to get voted out. You know? But you know what happens as we stand on God's promises? If we do that in which God would have us to do, and that is His will, He blesses it. We go in many times expecting one thing in our life, thinking that this is what's going to happen, and then we stand or we don't stand because of that fear, but then when we stand, we see how God just blessed the whole thing. Look, fear, true fear. Now, I'm not talking about being scared of heights or something like that, or thinking, well, I can't jump off this bridge or I'll die. That's wisdom from God, that if we jump off, that's going to happen. But that fear that crops up within us when it comes time to stand for the Lord, and those thoughts of what could happen and what might happen, do you know where that comes from? It doesn't come from God. That's the devil trying to hinder us. You say, well, how can you say it doesn't come from God? Because what did Christ tell His disciples over and over and over? Fear not. Matter of fact, it's in the Bible 365 times. That's at least once for every day of the year. Fear not. So we should be praying for spiritual vigor, for spiritual endurance. And you know, I believe as we pray for that, and we pray for that, that God's glory may be seen, that His kingdom may prosper, I firmly believe that He will answer those prayers. You say, why is that? Because that is the will that He would have for our lives. That's what He would have for us. We see also in verse 11 the scope, or the motive, if you would, of spiritual endurance. Notice it says, according to His glorious power, unto all patience. Boy, that's one we don't like, isn't it? I mean, I've heard many times, and it's flowed from my mouth, I must admit it, and if it's flowed from yours, I don't mean to point fingers at you, but how many times do you hear a child of God say, don't you ever pray for patience? I mean, we ought to pray for patience, shouldn't we? And then when we pray for patience and the Lord begins to answer that question or answer that prayer, then we need to pray for the endurance to endure praying for patience, don't we? Because there's toil come when the Lord begins to teach us patience. That's why everybody says don't pray for it, because sometimes that is the hardest time that a child of God has in their life, when the Lord begins to teach us patience on something. It's the hardest thing to teach our children, isn't it? It's patience. I know, I haven't quite taught mine that yet. I'm still trying. But we see here, patience. Notice, and long-suffering with joyfulness. That spiritual endurance, that joyfulness, that as we toil, as we walk, as we endure these things, that we pray for joyfulness as we endure. Because God's people ought to be joyful, right? We ought to be like Paul and Silas and Peter and John. Whenever they had received stripes, when they had received beatings, they rejoiced because they were worthy to receive stripes for His honor and glory, that He made them worthy. We too ought to be that way. And now is a most definite time that we pray for these things, because I know within myself many times when, as we go through this toil, rather than being joyful and patient, I find myself being impatient and just ornery, just upset. Lord, why would this be this way? Lord, why would You have us endure this? He's teaching us patience. And He's teaching us that we ought to be joyful even in times of toil. And we ought to be praying one for another to these effects. Well, we ought to be asking the Lord not only to work this in our lives, but in the lives of others. We see that we not only do we receive these things, but we also should pray for these things. Spiritual victory. Look, we look out here, And we see the direction that not only this nation, this world, not only this nation and this world, but even the backsliding that's occurring in the children of God. We look at these things and we think, oh, how that we're defeated. Do not forget that the victory will be God's. We are in spiritual warfare, and we need not forget that. But we know how the war ends. It ends in victory. So, you know, I'm oftentimes reminded, we see those war movies and so forth, and just as the battle just seems hopeless, a soldier picks up the flag and just charges headlong in with hope. And then you see the others, they get up and they begin to fight harder, and then, you know, how's the movie end? They win that battle, don't they? Look, folks, we don't need someone to pick up the flag and charge because the flag is already planted in the enemy's territory. Now let's move forward. Let's continue the fight. The victory is God's. And therefore, because we are in Christ, the victory shall be ours. And we need to remember that. The victory shall be won. We do not end in defeat. So as we look at these things, as things come about, we ought not fear those that may hurt the body, but fear, reverence Him that could destroy both body and soul in hell. And we know He doesn't do that with His people. So we ought to be trudging headlong into this. And in this spiritual victory, and in all these things, our prayer to have fruitful spiritual prayer ought to have some thankfulness in it. I wonder if we looked at the percentage of our prayer, how much is petition and how much is thankfulness? We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? You know, we've got to even be thankful for the prayers in which that God says no, because He knows what's good for us. We see that in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father. I like this next part, which hath made us meet. Made us fit. He's made us fit. Notice, we see some things. We see in spiritual victory, we see its source. The Father. The all things in God. The victory is in God. Notice, and we see the source of our power. Notice, it says, which hath made us meet. Which hath made us fit. So we see the source there. Notice, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look, many times the Lord calls upon us to do something. And this is why we must pray, because we battle these things. The Lord calls upon us to do something and we immediately say, I can't. And there may be some truth in that. We can't, but God can through us. Amen. Because He hath made us meet. He hath made us fit. We also see in spiritual victory, we see the prayer and the substance of its sufficiency. Notice, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, many times we think about what seems to be such a great hurdle, what seems to be a great mountain in the way in which the Lord would have us to go. And we think about how insurmountable that seems. Look, first off, we serve the Almighty God, the All-Powerful, the One that does whatsoever He wills in the armies of heaven and in the armies of earth, and no one can stay His hand. Remember that. But also remember this. Remember, as we see that great work in which that He already done, He took something, us, that was spiritually dead, and He made us alive, didn't He? Amen. What a miracle. Amen. What a miracle that He wrought within us. What great power that He shows in His glory. How that He can take His enemies and make them His friends. Amen. And we see also that supply. We see the supply in which that supplies that we need in these prayers to be answered. Notice verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That supply being Christ Jesus. Now, this could be a total, entire other message that could go on for some period of time. But when we think about the redemption through His blood, you know, oftentimes we just think about the salvation, don't we? That we are no longer going to be punished for our sins and an eternity in hell. But you know, that blood, that redemption was more than that. That also purchased and allows us to walk with Him in this life, doesn't it? That He's able to supply those things, to give those gifts as he led captivity captive and gave gifts among men. So we see that even our prayers are answered. You know, many times we will end a prayer with the clause, in Jesus' name we pray. In His authority, in His power, in His might, in His supply. So we see all these things are important for spiritual prayer. We pointed out, if we were to lay a percentage markings on our prayer, how much would be material versus spiritual? I ask you also, how much would be general and specific? Now, I know we don't, in public prayer, we don't get into some specifics. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you can't say specifically in the open what you do in your private prayers at home. How much worldly versus heavenly? You know, how much time do we spend about praying about those trivial things versus kingdom-related things? Amen. Specific versus general. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm not going to go into an expository of this because we're running out of time. But notice what the Lord tells us. Matthew 6, and we'll start in verse 7. It says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." How much of our prayer is repetition versus meaningful? You know, when we lay down at night, do we sometimes find ourselves just kind of going through a ritual of our prayer? I heard somebody go, mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's be honest with ourselves. Amen. And oftentimes, we fall asleep before we even finish that, don't we? You know, I've fallen asleep many times, talking with the Lord. Not that He speaks back to me in an audible voice. I don't want y'all to think I'm crazy. But you know, if you're here and you know the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And what a blessedness that is to speak with the Lord and tell you, well, your body just gives out. Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak, isn't it? But how much of it's just vain repetition? He tells us not to speak with vain repetitions. You know, fellas, as we lead in prayer in public, can't we sometimes get caught up in that ourselves? Look, I will say this. We had a couple of young men who had been saved a little while, and I'm not afraid to call on one of them young fellas to pray, you know. But before I did, I would always instruct them, look, don't you worry about everybody else in the room. You talk to God. Amen. You pray to Him. Amen. Fellas, when we lead in public prayer, that's what we're to be doing, is leading the people in prayer. Amen. Notice, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. It says, after this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We see a salutation and an adoration, a thankfulness, and an acknowledgement of who we're speaking to. And it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as done in earth as it is in heaven. We see a submission to His will. Look, we must be submissive to God's will in our prayers. It says, give us this day our daily bread. I read somewhere that is the only portion of this model prayer that talks about our daily substance and our daily food. And it may be, but I think it even goes beyond that. It is in our spiritual needs for that day. Not just that we might have a loaf to get us through the day, but our spiritual needs for that day. It says, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Here we see the petitions to Him, that we might be forgiven and that we might forgive others. Well, you say, what's the meaning in relation in that? There again, that God's light may be seen in us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That we might walk properly, that He might deliver us by His strength from those things that tempt us. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ending in praise. Praise and recognition to who that He is and by what supply these things can be answered. So as we ask ourselves this morning, why do we pray? How do we pray? For what purpose do we pray? Many times we will find ourselves praying for the right things, but for the wrong reason. When we think about God's healing and things of that sort, those things ought to be for the honor and glory of God. One last point for us to think about. When we pray for those lost friends, those lost loved ones, or the lost in general, when we pray for them, why is it that we want the Lord to save them? Is it so that they might not spend an eternity in hell? And first and foremost, we'd say, yeah, because we don't want nobody to go through that. Must recognize something. Hell is a judgment of God. If we're praying for the Lord to save the lost, if we're praying for Him to save them, He says, seek His kingdom first. If we desire the Lord to save one, it ought to be for His honor and glory first and foremost. Many times we've got that backwards, don't we? We should desire that He save those in which that are lost, not only that they be, not only that they not have to endure an eternity in hell, but that they may see Him, that they may know Him, that they may walk for Him in this life, that His honor, His glory may be seen in them. That is how we ought to pray for those in which that are lost. For His honor, for His glory, for His kingdom and the furtherance of it. How fruitful, how spiritual are our prayers this morning. Brother Duke.